And as you see, I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. Turn the back of your program as we take a look at our study this morning. We've been in a journey. Last week we skipped to chapter 15, and now we're coming back verse by verse, beginning in chapter 12, looking at the first 12 verses. Who likes a hypocrite? Who is a hypocrite? A mask wearer. A pretender. Somebody who desires to appear differently than they truly are. It was a theater word in Jesus' day. In the Greek theater, one actor would play many parts. And they would simply take a mask and pretend one part, then quickly take another mask, another part. It's an amoral word. And as we study this morning, Jesus would have some strong words. But why would a person play the hypocrite? Be the hypocrite? Why would anybody follow a hypocrite when you have a sense they're not all they're pretending to be? We sang about it this morning. Fear for many. The fear of not being accepted, a desire for respect or to be liked. And so there's pretending that goes on. A fear that I won't get the job, so I'm going to mess with the job application on my resume. Or I won't get into the college I want to, so I will appear to be someone that I may not be on the college application. I'm afraid I'm not going to get the girl or the guy. So when we have those discussions, you know, back in the day when I was a single man in my 20s, late 20s, early 30s, there were no online. The Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet, and so there was no Christian Mingle, eHarmony. And so you met the young lady either through a friend at the bar at the Bible study. Bar wasn't working out for me. And so I finally met her in a Bible study after the Lord had converted my soul. I vaguely remember a conversation. Do you cook? Well, of course I cook. But in my head, that meant, well, back in college, boiled water for hot dogs and Kraft macaroni and cheese. Of course I cook. I wanted to present myself differently. A fear, a lack of identity. And it might cause us to pretend to be something that we're not. It happens, certainly, in the church. It was happening big time in Jesus' day. And he says to his closest disciples, to many of us here in this room, beware. Be on your guard. I warn you about being a hypocrite. It can be dangerous. And there's other ways that maybe it's not so heavy. It's not so difficult. And we say, oh, you know, people understand. I shared an illustration with my wife this morning. I said, I think I'm going to share this as where I play the hypocrite. She said, don't do it, honey. And I'm going to share it with you. For years, I've worn clothing that makes me appear to be thinner than I really am. You know, you look in your mirror, objects may be closer than they appear. I'm actually heavier than I appear. The loose fitting, dark colors, I don't know if I read it someplace. So we can laugh at that. My wife says, honey, if you do that, everyone's going to be looking at your gut for the whole service. And I said, honey, not this mature, God-loving group. They are not going to do that. Religious hypocrisy wearing the mask when it comes to faith. Jesus says it's so dangerous. Your very soul depends on you not being a hypocrite, following after a hypocrite. We're going to read the text, and then we're going to come back and look at the cure for hypocrisy. Jesus speaking, or Luke sharing with us, and Jesus will be speaking. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together, you can look on the back of your program or in your Bible, that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." Leaven is another word for yeast. Us bakers know what that is and does. Which is hypocrisy. "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Number one, fill it in your program if you like. Hypocrites, especially religious hypocrites, pretend to have authentic faith, but they wear masks. They wear masks. True faith honors God the Father. Let's take a look. You're going to see there on that subheading that I've written, "Fear God the Father." Well, wait a minute. We just sang about don't fear anything or anyone. There's a certain kind of fear. A reverential, a holy kind of fear. The kind of fear Isaiah experienced that is recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 6. Where he had this picture, this vision of a holy God. And there he saw himself and he realized who he was. And the Bible would tell us he was a pretty godly guy. He wasn't a religious hypocrite. And yet, when he had that glimpse, that picture into the one true God that religion and rituals and rules cannot help you to see, but when God appears himself before you in your heart, in your mind, in your understanding, when he shows his holiness, his purity, his awesomeness, his omniscience, his all-knowing, his all-seeing, there's a fear. There's a woe. "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. My heart is depraved, deceived, and decrepit before such a holy God." That fear is good. And Jesus will teach us and to show us in a few moments why it is good. So as you and I fear God in that holy way, in that reverential way, you're going to learn something about him. That he loves you unconditionally. That he values you even if you're in a mess. For he created you and he formed you and he's calling you. And if you've come to him and you know today by the affirmation of his spirit within you that you're a child of God, you know that. And when you grasp and understand how he values you, what men think, what women say, what they say you ought to be doing, how you ought to practice the faith, becomes less and less. And as you go through the scripture, and as you listen to Jesus and his truth rise up, you will not be so concerned about what others are doing, what they're saying. You have security in your identity as a child of God. And in his sovereign love for you, grace over you, leading you, protection over you. And doesn't mean you won't have trial or testing. We see Jesus speaking of that. He had just in chapter 11 been hearing from these religious leaders, the ones who should have been shepherding well the people of God. But they were all consumed with their place, their position, being respected, being adored, being followed by the people. They forgot the heart of God and following after him. And instead of loving and caring and leading well the people, they put rules and rituals, ones that they couldn't even follow, upon the people. And then they attacked Jesus. They came at Jesus, and Jesus rebuked them. He corrected their false doctrine, their false teaching, their empty, shallow living. And we see here, during that time, throngs of people, thousands upon thousands were drawn to him to want to hear, what is he going to say? What miracle will he do now? They trampled on one another. That mob mentality, I want to get closest to the celebrity Jesus. And he turned to his disciples first. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That small piece, that yeast that is then entered into the dough as it's kneaded, and before you put it into the oven to bake the bread, it won't rise. You know, during the Passover, they didn't put yeast into the bread. So they had flat bread, a picture of what had taken place in the Passover, quickly needing to bake it because they were getting on the road. They were going to be delivered, the first Passover. And so when they celebrate a Passover, no leaven, no yeast at all in the house, because it pictured sin in Scripture. And here Jesus says, be careful of the sin, the leaven of hypocrisy of the religious leaders. And so when you and I, or those who bake, you know that you will save a piece of that dough. As you knead it, you put it up, a large portion into that oven, there's a piece you save until the next batch. And then you knead it in. And then before you cook that batch, you take off a piece and you put it in the next one. He says that's who the religious leaders are, the Pharisees, the synagogue leaders are. They want to just infect in you a little bit of their hypocrisy. Because once you start down that road of pretending to be more spiritual, pretending to know God, pretending by doing things instead of being his child, it just permeates deeper and deeper until it affects all of who you are. He says, so be careful. Beware of that sin, of that yeast, of that hypocrisy. Why? Because here's the truth. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. There's a picture here in some homes. If they had the finances, they would have a room in the middle of the house All the rest of the house might have little cubicles. And you couldn't say something unless others in the house heard, or even people outside with the open window. But if you had this little storehouse, maybe to keep dry goods. You know, for years I worked in a convenience store, and especially in my college days, when you want to say something, you want to speak about somebody, hey, let's go to the cooler. That inner room, nobody could hear. And he's saying, there's people who say things about God, about who Christ is. There's people today who will speak about his people, say things about his church, people in his church. They'll talk, and they'll think nobody's listening except the one they're talking to. And Jesus saying, you're dead wrong. There is one who is listening. He hears it all. He sees it all. And it will be unpacked one day. Maybe here on this earth. And he speaks about, you know, at one point, even in his day, things will be found out. And how do they proclaim news that they found? They'd go to a high-level, flat-top roof and shout it out. They didn't have the telephone. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have tweets or Instagram. They had nothing. They get out and they proclaim. And then somebody else would proclaim. And that's just a picture. He's saying one day it'll be revealed, if not on this earth, in heaven, who you really are when it comes to faith. God says there'll be an accounting of that someday. So he's saying, be careful that you don't fall into one of those folks who fears them, what they say, that you want to appear like you're with them and you're one of them, or you're trying to be accepted by those religious hypocrites. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do, because they can't touch your soul. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. That word Gehenna, speaking of the garbage dump right outside of Jerusalem, that at one point wicked kings worshiping a pagan god, Molech, would actually sacrifice their children into this altar, into this fiery pit in their wickedness, trying to appease a false god. And then when Josiah came along, that young king, he turned it into a garbage dump. But it was forever, this ever-burning pit where all the garbage was dumped from that large city of Jerusalem. And people picture, well, that's what hell is like, this ever fiery pit. And here Jesus is saying, and he's using that, often he used it, the Hebrewism, a sense of getting people's attention. We can might call it a little bit of an edge or a sarcasm. He says, but fear him who has authority, oversight over every soul. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Wait, I thought he just said, don't fear. Stop fearing those. He goes, right. But have a reverence, a holy fear like Isaiah did for God. And then he shares an illustration of what he means by that. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? People who didn't have a lot of money could get a meal for 2 cents. They can get 5 sparrows. They'd be defeathered, skinned, cooked in an open fire, put on a little stick. And it would be like eating, you know, wings today. But you had something for a few cents. And he says, you know, it might appear that they're not very valuable, but God knows about every single one of those sparrows. God knows about every hair on your head. It's numbered. God's mathematical skills are less taxed on some of you, but some of us, it's a little harder for him. But he's saying, I know you. I care about you. I value you more than those sparrows. So what does he say? So fear not. Stop fearing man. Stop fearing those who would frown upon your freedom to walk with Jesus, to love him, to love the word, to live it, to practice it, and to do it well, with an honor to please God, not peers, not friends, not if we have them religious hypocritical leaders who want to control. But no, step back. Honor the Father, Jesus says, and you won't fear man. Because your love for God will reign supreme. And you'll embrace your identity, I trust, as a child of his. And it doesn't matter what man says about you and does to you. God values you. Secondly, hypocrites, again, pretend to have authentic faith. But they're wearing masks. True faith honors the Son. Notice what he says. He says, acknowledge. I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, that word acknowledge means to confess, to agree, to witness of him, his claims, his declarations. It's a willingness to with humility and graciousness, to say, this is Jesus. This is who he is. This is what his claims are. I know him. I've been called by him. I walk with him. I testify of him. Perfect? No. Forgiven? Yes. Desiring to walk, not as a hypocrite myself, a mask wearer and a pretender to my faith? No. But authentically, with zeal, with passion, fleeing youthful, immature, sinful lust, and pursuing righteousness, love, faith with others who are calling out to God with a pure heart. Jesus says, those who acknowledge me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. The one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Here's what Jesus knew. He knew for certainty that he'd be going to a cross on purpose as a substitute. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world to pay a penalty for me, for you. And he knew after 3 days he would rise from that death and he would ascend. And he knew that he would go to a place of honor that the Father would give him, to sit at his right hand in the throne of heaven, ever living to make intercession. And there in that place, because it was happening before he became a human being, and it's happening right now, angels, myriads of angels are worshiping Almighty God and praising him. Holy, holy, holy. And the revelation would tell us conversations happen between God and those angels. And Jesus saying conversation will happen between me and those angels. And it will be about those who acknowledge me, who testify, who are not hypocrites, but who are my children by faith alone. And they live for me. And they proclaim me. And they don't fear man and what man thinks about them being a born-again believer and follower of me. And I'll tell you, angels, that's one of mine. She's one of mine. She heard my call. He heard my call. By faith alone, they responded. They're part of the family. Co-heirs with me. And others who might claim, who might be religious, but who deny him in that secret room, who deny him by their deeds and by their words and by their hypocrisy. He will say, see that pretender, that mask wearer? They're not one of mine. Number three, True faith honors the Holy Spirit. We need to be careful to dismiss the life-changing work that the Spirit of God does in this world, in and through people, is to invite judgment upon oneself. We need to be careful not to mock that which we might not understand or have not truly experienced. The Holy Spirit of God, sent by Jesus, who said before his disciples, "I need to leave, but I will send another, and he will be your teacher. He will be your convictor. He will be your advocate. He will be your gift giver. And he will move and work. And he will do nothing of his own, but only that which he hears me tell him and sees me doing." Do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Jesus says here, you can deny me. Notice, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. Saul spoke against Jesus, did he not? He was forgiven, became Paul. Peter spoke against Jesus. He was forgiven, was he not? You and I, at times in our life, for sure before we became children of God, spoke ill of Jesus, and by his grace we've been forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. We see in chapter 11, Jesus performing miracles, wondrous works and healings. And these very religious leaders were ascribing him and his work to the devil. He is doing this by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of Satan. He is one of his dominion. And that's why he's able to do these things. That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. To say that which is of God, that which is life-changing, that which is not of the natural, but of the supernatural. To say, well, no, they're part of a cult. That's baloney. And to mock the things that the Spirit of God does in changing a life and turning people to Jesus and the gospel. Jesus says, you live that way, you speak that way, you act that way, because guess what? It's the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And if you keep denying him, if you keep hardening your heart towards that call and that knock on the door of your heart, it is unforgivable. You'll miss your opportunity. So hear and beckon. Do not harden your hearts, but turn by faith alone and say, rescue me, deliver me, save me, Jesus. And you can be thankful that the Holy Spirit brought that message, made him clear and known to you. Verse 11, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious. In other words, don't fear. Right? Acts 4:12. Just less than 2 months earlier, Peter, before the same, not even before the same crew, before servant girls in a garden, denied knowing Jesus 3 times. He was filled with fear. Look what they're doing to him. I don't understand. My thought was it was going to work out this way for me. And look what they're doing to Jesus. Jesus told them it was going to happen. But still had his desire about what he wanted to happen. And he was fearful. And he was anxious. And he denied. But then what occurred 2 months later? He was sealed by the Holy Spirit. Up to that point, he wasn't. On the day of Pentecost, sealed by the Spirit of God, there was an advocate in him, a teacher in him, a reminder in him, a power of God in him. And when he was brought before the synagogue leaders, the temple leaders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and they said, "Stop preaching the name of Jesus." And Peter would say, "There's no name under heaven by which man must be saved. I will not stop preaching the name of Jesus. You can put any restriction on me that you like. Beat me if you like. Kill me if you like. But I will not deny him, and I will speak of him." He had no more fear. He had no more anxiety. And here Jesus would say, "When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." He's our helper. God has your back. The Spirit of God is your advocate. Think about those places where we play hypocrite. Especially when it comes to living out a life of a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. Are we pretending to be someone that we're not? To look good? To fit in? Why not instead just come before the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and say, "Here I am. Take me with my lack of identity. Take me with my fears. Take me with the struggles I have of acceptance. And let me dwell and sit and read and chew on the Gospels and realize who I am before you, how much you love me, what you have done for me, and I will be done with the hypocrisy. And I will be honest. And I will walk with you in transparency. And when I struggle, I won't hide it. But I will be transparent and I will share with others. And I will pray and I will run the race well. And in my workplace and in the classroom and in my neighborhood and on that ball field and in my church, I will testify of Jesus. The one true Jesus. And my life, my words, and my deeds done in secret and out in the open will match. Will be without hypocrisy. No unwholesome words. No blaspheming words. No denying him. Not only by my words, but by my lifestyle and actions. And I will trust that I will walk by God's grace in the Spirit. And I will be able to battle well the lust of my flesh as I walk in the Spirit. And I will have his power transforming me day by day, hour by hour, month by month. Not my power. I don't have it. He is the power. He is the advocate. He is the help. The cure for hypocrisy, church, brothers and sisters in Christ, is honoring the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you are not yet in Christ, it could be like you had an upbringing that I did. Raised in a religion, following a lot of rules and rituals, did that the best I could, exhausting. But I never was able to truly focus on the Lord, a relationship with the Lord. I didn't know God was relational. I didn't know truly the work of Jesus on that cross for me personally. But the Spirit of God, by grace and by his truth, penetrated my heart in a season of despair and isolation. And the light appeared, as it has for many in this room. And maybe this is your season of light appearing. It's because God loves you. He values you. He knows you, everything about you, and says, "I am your healer. I am your redeemer. I am your forgiver. Trust me. trust me and fear not anyone or anything anymore. But lean into me and I will help you. You might have that opportunity right now in this moment. You could be a mile away, but a bended heart is saying, yes, Lord. It's you I hear knocking on the door of my heart. I believe. I believe in you, Jesus. You going to that cross for me, Jesus. Forgive me, Almighty God. Spirit of God, whom I don't understand, seal me. Teach me. Begin to heal me. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that we struggle in many ways and in many forms of being mask wearers, pretending, hiding, because we're not all that we would want to be. And the reality is, you know exactly who we are. You know exactly the work you've begun in us. Hypocrisy, mask wearing is dangerous. It's unhealthy in every form. But it is eternally dangerous when it takes on a religious, ritualistic form. Oh, that you would examine our heart and show us the error of our way. If we pretend, we would take off the mask. We would ask you to take off the mask. Give us confidence in you. Trust in you, in your unconditional love for us. And the reality is, you know us all already, every part of us. While yet we were still sinners, Christ Jesus, you died for us. God could not prove and show his love any greater than that. We might trust you and walk in freedom, walk in honesty and transparency. Oh, that will help the world around us, in our own families, in our own places of work and education, in our own communities, to testify of you, Jesus, your grace and your goodness, the forgiveness that you offered on that cross, even for the one we might talk with. Oh, help us and remind us. It's in that very given moment when we are being bullied, when we might be accosted for our genuine faith, that your Spirit will help us. You are faithful to what you instruct. Let us test that faithfulness by trusting you. In your name I pray. Amen.